It just feels like this morning that, you know, like, and I felt it last week and I'm feeling it this week. And I think it's probably because of the holidays, and a lot of us will, you know, pull away from our normal routine during the holidays. And for most of us, you know, we're probably disciplined in those things of seeking the Lord and staying connected to the Lord. But the holidays, there's so many things that come along that want to draw our attention. And sometimes it draws our attention away from the Lord. Sometimes it's the joy of being with family. Like we were so, like we had just such a sweet time where our daughter, both of our daughters are here and our son-in-law were here for about 10 days. And we put our youngest daughter on the plane in Charlotte yesterday. Mama cried. I almost did. It was just, it's really hard when they leave. But when they're here, there's joy. We play games. We spend time together. We cook. We eat. We really love it. So there's the joy that, you know, sometimes you just kind of get, oh man, I'm caught up in family. I'm not spending the kind of time with the Lord that I normally would in my normal routine. My house is different. You know, every corner of the house feels like there's people in it. So it's hard to find a place where you get, you know, like you have, you know, quiet. So that sometimes it's, and sometimes it's the stress of family. And probably for more people, it's more the stress of family than the joy of family that will distract us and draw us away from the Lord, because we get around our these people who they know all our buttons and there's all the patterns and all those things. But it feels like, I just feel like for some of us, we've been in this place of like, you know, like a boat in the ocean that is not anchored or moored will drift. It'll just drift. It's natural. And when we allow our hearts to not, when we get in a place where our hearts are not anchored or moored to the Lord, our hearts will drift. So kind of felt that kind of coming through in the worship time, in the words, and what I've been feeling about us. So this morning, I want to talk to us about tending the fire. And there's a passage in Leviticus. Mess up my notes and jump around a little bit. There's a passage in Leviticus that talks about, you know, the Lord's really very specific in how the priests are to service and to look after the temple. It wasn't a casual or haphazard sort of thing, you know, kind of do it this way if you feel like it, or, you know, if you want to, if it's more convenient, do it this way, that way. In fact, when the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies once a year, they would tie a rope to his leg in case he did something wrong and died in the presence, they could pull him out. There's another story where they're moving the ark. With the ark is the it's got the Ten Commandments in there. It's got some other things in there. It represents the presence and power and like the weighty presence of God. And they're moving it. It'd been taken and they're moving it. And they have it. I think they have it on a cart. And they're moving on this cart. And the cart kind of like sort of tips, like it's gonna fall over, and one of the servants, one of the Levites, reaches to stop it from falling over, and he touches the ark, and he drops dead. So there's this thing that God has about, like, there's a doing things his way. And sometimes they can be really serious things. And so in Leviticus chapter 6, God is instructing the priests on how to tend the altar fire. And the altar fire is where the sacrifices are giving, the sacrifices as offerings unto God, all the different sacrifices. And this altar fire is a crucial component of how the Israelites are going to stay connected to God. Because if they can't make their sacrifices, then there's going to be a division between them and the Lord. The sacrifices are there to maintain connection. Just like with Jesus, like Jesus came and died so we could be connected to the Father, reconnected to the Father. So there's this fire that burns on the altar. And this is how God instructs the Moses. He says, the Lord spoke to Moses. This is Leviticus chapter 8, through chapter 6, 8 through 13. For those of you who think, man, Leviticus is boring. I don't want to read Leviticus. I don't want to read these kind of like, you know, they feel dry. They feel, there's so much of like the revelation of who God is and what's important to God wrapped up in these books. I would encourage you, for those of you who may already be starting a read through the Bible in a year process like we did last year, and some of you read through the Bible, and some of you this year, I want to encourage you, if you didn't do it last year and you haven't done it, do it this year. But you're going to get to Leviticus, you're going to get to these different chapters where you're like, man, there's no life in this. Listen, there's life there. You will find it if you look for it. If you build it, they will come. If you look for revelation, if you look for the heart of God, if you want to know God the Father, he's in there. He's in there. My old Texas pastor used to say, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So it's all in there. You'd have to look for it. So we're in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying this. This is the law of the burnt offering. So God's making a law here. He says, the burnt offering shall be on the hearth, on the altar, all night and until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garments and put his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burning offering on the altar, and put them beside the altar. Let's pause right there. God cares about every little detail. He's telling the priest, like, okay, you're going to wear this, and these are the underwear you're going to wear. How many of you for those of you who are like a little indecisive, you don't know what to wear, like, you know, most of the guys just go into their closet and they pull out whatever's clean, and that's fine. But like, you know, some of you ladies might, I mean, I'm probably more like a girl this way, because I'll often, like today, I just put this on, but a lot of times, I'll put on a shirt, and I'll like the shirt, but I don't like the pants with it. So I'll change the pants, then I don't like the shirt with the pants, and I'll change the shirt. I'm serious, Chad. This happens a lot. It happens a lot, more than I care, more than I should be admitting to right now. But there'll be times when it's like maybe, you know, six different, and Marcus, she's like not, you know, like my closet's, you know, anyway. But God, like, and so like you think, man, wouldn't it be great if God just like laid out our clothes for us every day? I remember a preacher telling us a story about how he went into his closet one morning and he said, Lord, which tie should I wear? And he said, the Lord said to him, hey, I'm your father, not your mother. You can decide what tie to wear. But here, God's being so specific. He actually cares about the details of each of our lives. He actually cares about the details about how we come to him. And so he says, and the priest shall put on his linen garment and put on his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar and put them beside the altar. He says, okay, you go in, you wear this, and you take those, like the ashes are what's left over after the burnt offering. The burnt offering has been offered so that there's, again, connection, reconciliation, restoration of relationship. He says, but now there's leftover ashes. So you put these on, you take those, you put them there. And then he says in verse 11, then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. So he takes those things off, and it's like, it's a wholly different thing. So God's very specific here. He says, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every, what? Morning. Every morning. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. It shall not go out. And he shall arrange the burnt offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. There's this thing about the power, the importance of the fire of God and how we can't let it go out. And if you look at this scripture, he says like every morning. Not some mornings, like, hey, you know, like, you know, 2-3 days a week. Some of us, that's how we approach our relationship with God. You know, 2-3 days a week, we feel like we're doing pretty good. Yeah, quiet time, two, three times this week, or four times, or one time. You know, like I had one, and it's like, how are we going to keep our relationship alive? How are we going to keep our that connection alive? How are we going to keep that burning alive if we're not tending to that fire every day? He says it shall not go out. The fire is not optional. God does give it. The fire does come from God. But it requires our careful, deliberate stewardship. Because if you leave a fire untended, what happens? It goes out. It dies. And a fire left untended dies. And we have an absolute, like, imperative that we're tending the fire. And for some of you, like I said, this is a time of year when it's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy. A lot of people are prone to depression or lonely or stressed or anxious. Some of us feel tremendous financial pressure around the holidays or family pressure. And it's like those times when it's most important that we're pressing into God. It's most important that we're making sure we keep the fire burning. But our tendency can be to be very human and to let it go out. Remember, a fire left untended dies. What does that fire represent? What does it do? What does it mean for us? And I'm talking about, when I talk about the fire, I'm talking about our passion, our desire. You know, that fire represents so much. It represents that there's something about being on fire for God. And one of the best ways to, like, sort of reconnect with what I'm talking about is remember that day that you got saved and, like, all of a sudden, like, everything changed and you were passionate, you were on fire, and you were telling people because, man, look what the Lord's done. You were so in touch with that experience that it just changed everything for you. And like anything else that's left untended, it begins to wane. It begins to die. It begins to, just like in a marriage, there's that, you know, those early days of like, man, I can't get enough of you. Like, you think about all those people that, like, stand in an altar and they're like, I can't get enough of this person. And then they don't tend that fire and it dies. And so that fire represents something of the passion that we have for the Lord, the desire that we have for him, the desire that he has for us. And so what does that fire represent? It represents his presence. It reveals God's presence. It's not just a tool. It's a manifestation of God's holiness. It comes in, fire comes in, and it's like this morning when we came to this room, it was cold because the heater wasn't working. So we came in, it's cold, you know, Ben's got his beanie on because he doesn't have any fur to cover his. And so you come in and it's cold, and then somehow someone figures out what's going on with the heater. And there's a little fire in that heater. And they take that fire and then they blow warm air in here, and all of a sudden the room's warm. It's actually got too warm. Alyssa was like, man, I got to turn that heater off. It's too warm. But that fire represents God's presence. God's presence that comes in and it envelops us and it covers us and it reassures us. Is there something about walking into the presence of God that's reassuring? I think it was Ben that said he walked into the room this morning. The guys were doing their worship kind of tune up, and he's like, man, I was overcome by the presence of God. And we see this in the Old Testament. We see examples in the Old Testament about how fire actually represents God's presence. We have in Exodus chapter 3 where Moses goes and he meets with God and on the mountain, and there's a bush there, and it says it's burning and the fire, that fire wouldn't go out. It didn't go out. It was like a weird kind of situation of like a bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. Because God was there. And God speaks to Moses from the burning bush, from the fire, God speaks. That fire represents God's presence. If your fire is going out, if your fire is dimming, if your fire is waning, it might be an indication that you've drifted away from God's presence. And I'm not talking about, you know, he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. I'm not saying like, you know, but our understanding, our consciousness of his presence. We drift away from him. He doesn't drift away from us. We see it in Exodus 13, where they have the tent of meeting, and God, he manifests himself in a cloud by day and a fire by night. There's a pillar of fire, and that's how they know God's with them, that God's there. It's his fire. It represents his presence. That's why that fire had to keep burning on the altar all the time, because it was representing God's presence there. A fire left untended dies out, you guys. If we're not tending the fire, it's going to die out. If you're feeling this morning, you're feeling like, man, I just feel like disconnected from the Lord. And, you know, someone even said that to me this morning. They felt like they feel disconnected from God. Are you tending your fire? Are you going every morning and making sure that there's wood on that fire? See, we live in a world full of modern conveniences. You don't have to keep a fire going, because in the morning you're going to go and just turn the little dial, and the flame's going to come on, and the gas is going to come on, and your fire's going to come on, and you know, you don't have to worry about tending that fire and making sure it doesn't going out. You don't have to keep Flint around to get that fire going every morning. It's just there. I remember last year when we had the hurricane come through. Was it last year now, or was it 2 years now? Year and it was 2024. Yeah, 23, 24. And you remember that? I remember that. Like, we are not hurricane people. We're Californians. I mean, like, we get earthquakes, yeah, but you know, that's every 20 years. I mean, like hurricanes. But I remember, like, they said it was the worst hurricane in 35 years. I'm like, oh, I'm glad we made it time. We got here in time for that. Would have hated to miss that. But remember that, like, you know, we didn't have electricity, and we couldn't like start our stove, because it was an electric stove, I think, right? And so like. So if we leave our fires untended, they're going to die out. Fire also, in addition to representing the presence of God, fire comes to purify and sustain. This morning, Ben, during the worship time, he was talking about like repentance. How like for some of us, there may be a need for repentance. I thank God for his fire that comes to purify me. And it comes in different ways. Yeah. We experience it in different ways. But I actually, for me personally, there are so many times, there have been so many seasons in my life where it felt like the fire was so strong, it was so overwhelming, it was so intense that I thought, man, this is going to burn me up. Like, God's fire is going to burn me up. I can't take it anymore. Like, Lord, just like cut me a break, you know, turn down the heat. And there have been times when the Lord said to me, listen, I'm trying to burn something up in you. There's something in you that's not helpful for you and for me. And I need to keep, there needs to be a fire burning to get rid of that thing. You know, we all know the process of like purifying gold. And it's like you turn up the heat real high and the dross rises to the top. You skim the dross off. And that's what God's fire kind of does. It purifies us. And I don't know about you, but I know I need to be purified. Like, I don't want you to feel like I'm preaching at you. about needing to be purified by God's fire, because I need to be purified by God's fire. There are things that God's been like, he's been burning away little by little my whole life, feels like. And it's like, and there's got to be something in us that has to be able to say, God, come and burn it away. Man, it's hot. It's painful. I don't like it. I'm not enjoying this. But Lord, I want to be purified. I want to be who you want me to be. I want to represent your kingdom well. I want to be close to you. I want to feel that fire. Malachi 3:2 says, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. I wonder if that means, like, if we don't let him purify us before he gets here, we're not going to be able to stand it when he does get here. Like all that, all those parts of our flesh that we've like held on to, and we've made provision for, and we've nursed and rehearsed and kept and hidden, and if we don't like let God burn those things away, when we actually do see him, we're not going to be able to stand. That's a scary thought, isn't it? A scary thought for me. Isaiah 16:6-7, it talks, this is when Isaiah goes and he's in the presence of God and he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. It says then in verse 6, it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal. Like I see this, it's my picture, the picture in my mind, it's like one of those charcoal briquettes. When you're doing like, you're on the Weber and you got the briquettes going and they all get all red. They get all hot. And it says, he had in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. It is, and your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. The fire of God is meant to purify us. And again, it can be really hard. It can be really painful. And it can be really uncomfortable. And we can really want to like flee away from it. There's times when I feel like, man, God, it's so intense. I got to get away. But then I remember when the disciples were with Jesus and like 3,000 left him after he preached that sermon. You know, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not one of me. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says to them, are you going to go too? There's like the 12 guys left. He goes, are you going to go too? And they say, where can we go? Where can we go? You have the words of life. Where can we go? And so we're in this place. We're stuck in this. We're between a rock and a hard place of like, man, God's going to come and he's going to purify us and he's going to use fire and it's going to be painful and it's going to be difficult and we need it and we absolutely will not become who God wants us to become without it. But it's painful and it's difficult. And it says in James, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, because we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance. We need God's fire to come and purify us. But remember, if we don't tend to the fire, it's going to die. Controlled fire produces life. A fire under control produces life. Untended fire dies. He purifies our hearts. He purifies our motives. He sustains our lives. He equips us for mission. But we have to tend to it. Third thing that fire does, for it represents, is it represents or indicates intimacy with God. When we have a fire, it's because we're close to him. When we're on fire, it's because we're close to him. when we're on fire for God. Lots of people can be on fire for a lot of things, but when we're on fire from God, it's because we're close to him. It's because we've stayed in that place of like daily tending that fire. We've stayed in that place of pursuing him. We've stayed in that place of like, man, Lord, I want you no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, no matter where we get, I want it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And sometimes it's ugly, but it represents the presence of God. It represents intimacy with him. The priest daily would go in and tend. They would add wood to that fire. They would take care of it, make sure it kept going. It emphasizes that morning ritual of tending to the fire. We all know what the morning ritual is. We know what it looks like. We talk about it all the time. It's prayer, it's scripture, it's worship, it's repentance. It's daily getting into his presence when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. It's fasting. Man, if your fire is going out, if you feel like you're drifting, if you feel untethered, just take a couple of days and fast. Just set aside a few days. Say, I'm just going to fast, you know, for 3 days. Like a real fast. Yeah. Not like a, you know, I hear these people who are like, no offense, if this is you. I'm not talking about anyone here. But they'll be like, hey, yeah, I'm going to give up sugar. And I have a friend that said he gave up sugar and alcohol as his fast. Like, how much alcohol do you drink that you can fast from it? I said, that sounds more like a diet to me than a fast. Fasting is when we sacrifice comfort for spiritual purposes. I mean, there's a residual benefit. I mean, I'm going to fast, and if you, you know, in a little bit, you're going to notice, oh, he looks a little, you know, his clothes fit a little better, he's a little lighter, but my real reason is I want to be close to the Lord. My real reason is I feel my heart drift sometimes. I feel it. Like, it's like, man, and my job is to be with the Lord. And I feel my heart drift. I feel the pressures of life. I feel the costs of following the Lord. And I'm like, man, I just want to do this because I want to be with you, Lord. I want to stoke my fire. I want my fire to burn bright. If we neglect it, our passion fades. Our zeal fades. Our desire fades. If we neglect the fire, our desire for God fades. I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want my desire for God to fade. Yeah. I don't want to go through the motions. Yeah. I don't want to do this because this is what I'm supposed to do. Because this is what my job is. Man, I don't want that. Yeah. Yeah. So we got to tend to our fire. Fire, it fuels our mission. Stewarded fire will flow, sorry, my phone, will flow outward. Acts chapter 2, we all know Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes in. It's like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it says in verse, like, this is a big day. This is a world-changing, life-changing, like, you know, everything-changing day. It says, and in verse 3, it says, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. It fuels our, those tongues of fire is like, 3,000 people got added to their number. The church is born. Your life and my life changed forever because of that moment. There's a story about a Moravian revival back in 1727. A small Christian community in Herrnhut, Germany, faced a spiritual crisis. Fire of God was fading among them. They established a 24-hour prayer watch. Not for a day or for a week, That 24-hour prayer watch continued unbroken for 100 years. 100 years. These people felt like, man, our fire is going out. We need to do something. Let's pray. And it started a 100-year, 24-hour, unbroken prayer time. And out of that revival, a man named Leonard Dober and the Moravian missionaries, they heard, this is what happens when we get on fire. This is what can happen. If you ever had like delusions or dreams of like being someone who actually like went down in history for doing something for the Lord, this is what like happened. This guy named Leonard Dover, he heard of enslaved people in St. Thomas with no gospel access. They had no access to the gospel. But the only way you could go to St. Thomas was as a slave. It was an enslaved people. You couldn't just go there because you couldn't go there. And so they said, the only way you can go there is if you become a slave. And Dover said, if the only way is to become slaves, we're willing. And he sold himself into slavery. He went, and the fire was spread through his obedience. They went off and like they gave it all because they were on fire for the Lord. Yeah. Lukewarm doesn't get anything done. Yeah. Kind of, sort of doesn't get anything done. Half-hearted doesn't get anything done. And here we are in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, as a little church amongst many, many churches, many, many churches. And we may just have the audacity to believe that God wants to do something through us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We might just be crazy enough to think, oh my gosh, God wants to do something through this little church. You know, there's churches, you know, within a, you know, stone's throw here, within a, you know, a couple miles of here, they're massive, they're full of people, and we're just this little church. But you could, can you imagine what God could do with us if we are burning like those Moravian Christians? If we are on fire like those people? If each and every one of us said, as far as it concerns me, as much as it concerns me, I'm going to burn like never before. I'm going to burn bright for Jesus. I'm going to give my everything. I'm going to lay down my life to serve him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to stop caring about the stuff that doesn't matter. Imagine us are build. We're going to build our lives. We build these lives for ourselves, and it says like the fire. When the fire comes, it's going to burn away. Like all everything that's not of God is going to get burned away. So you're building your little kingdom. You're creating. You know, whatever you're creating, not going to last. The only thing that's going to last is what we do with him. What we do for him, what we do because of him, that's the only thing that's going to last. If you're here this morning and you've been feeling adrift, you've been feeling untethered, that picture I had this morning wasn't a chain link fence, Ben, it was a chain. And it was, the links were unconnected. It was just a bunch of individual links that weren't connected. And it feels like there's some of us this morning that like, man, I feel, that's me, I feel disconnected. And you think, what do I do? And so and you may be thinking, man, maybe I just need to go find a different church because I feel like disconnected in this church. We hear that sometimes. It's weird because I feel like we're one of the more connected churches I've ever been a part of, but some people get that way and they think, I just feel disconnected here. I'll just go over there. I'll just kind of move over there and that church, maybe that church will be, listen, the problem is you're taking you with you. You're going to be there too. And it might be different for a little bit. Might feel different. It might be exciting. Might be okay. You know, they have different kind of donuts there, or they have, you know, like their worship team is like, I mean, I thought our worship team was awesome this morning. Cody, that was Cody leading with us for the first time this morning. I thought it was awesome. And you think, I'll just go down there. Because there's something missing here. And my question is it us? Or is it you? Have you let yourself drift away from God? Have you let your fire go out? Have you, like, you're like that boat that's untethered and unmoored? And sometimes all it takes is, okay, Lord, I'm going to come to your altar. I'm going to come and I'm going to bow at your altar. And instead of me trying to figure out my ideas of what I should or shouldn't do, I'll come and ask you. I'll come and lay my life down before you. I'll come and let you speak into what I'm. And he'll say, hey, you let your fire go out. You're not dissatisfied because of what is happening around you. You're dissatisfied because of what's happening in you. You know, that portion of Leviticus is talking to the priests and saying, you guys go in there and keep that fire going. And so sometimes it's easy to like want to point our fingers at the priests and say, what are you not doing? How are you not meeting my needs? How are you not challenging me? How are you not inspiring me? How are you not? And not, again, look in the mirror and say, actually, I'm called to be a priest. Bible says that we're a priesthood of all believers. Yeah. That we're all called into the priesthood. We're all called to tend the fire. Mm-hmm. And there's times when we have to be really brutally honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to call ourselves on the carpet and say, man, I've slacked off. I've gotten lazy. I've let the worries and the cares of life snuff out my fire. I've gone to look for the answer in other places and other things rather than, man, if there's anything lacking in me, I got to go back to the source. He's the source. Yeah. Jesus is the source. God's the source. Yeah. If there's anything lacking in me, it says to me, the Bible says he'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He'll give me all things pertaining to life and godliness. And we want to say, man, it's my family. Man, it's my spouse. Man, if she was just meeting my need, or if he was just meeting my needs, or it's like if we had more money, or if we had more time, or we had... Go back to the source. Go back and tend to your fire. Now this is your elder, pastor, who loves the heck out of you guys, saying, go back to your fire. Do it now. Don't wait. Yeah. Don't deliberate on whether, I don't know if I liked what he was saying, or I don't know if I agree with what he's saying, or like, oh, I think, don't do that. Go back to the source, go back to Jesus, go back and light that fire. When your fire's burning, like when it's a roaring fire, then reevaluate. Do I have any complaints? I guarantee you get that fire roaring, your complaints are going to go out the window. That dissatisfaction will go out the window because we'll find satisfaction in him. All that he has. All that it's just there. So easy to forget. Yeah. So easy to drift. Yeah. He's calling us this morning. He's calling you this morning. For those of you who are burning bright, who are on fire, man, will you share the fire? Mm-hmm. You know, get around people. Begin to talk about what God's doing in you. Like, share it. Like, spread the fire. For those of you who is dimmed, man, go get set on fire again. Ask the Lord, will you pour some gasoline on me and set me on fire? There's that song that says, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. That's what God wants to do.